Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. My goodness, the program for last Friday was hard to do the Feast of the Epiphany and also to do the Feast of the Mother of God in 15 minutes was utterly impossible. But I hope through that program that you can at least pull out the nuggets that you can really use. And the main ones are really, do you adore him when Christ is revealed and he has been revealed to you? What do you do to pay him homage? How do you adore him? How do you follow him? How deeply committed are you to him? Are you genuinely one of his followers? And if you're not, what are you going to do about it? It's a very, very serious question. We also celebrated just recently the great solemnity of the Mother of God. It's Mary who can help us. It's Mary who said yes. Mary's yes was pivotal for our salvation. Yes, God could have turned elsewhere, but he turned to her, and she said yes, and she had a free will to say no, but she said yes. How many times have we said no to God? Ask Mary to help us, not only to squeeze yes out of us, but to give it gladly and lavishly and lovingly to God, to trust him. Ask for Mary's intercession that Christ, as I said the other day, Christ may be revealed in you and through you. All right, let's take a look at the readings for today, Monday, January 4th. The first reading is again taken from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 22 through chapter 4, verse 6, 3:22 to 4:6. Beloved, we receive from him whatever we ask, because we do his commandments, we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. If you're living that kind of a life, you're keeping his commandments, you do what pleases him in thought, word and deed. We all fail every day in all three of these areas, but are you moving in that direction? John says we can receive from him whatever we ask. Why? Because if we're keeping his commandments and we're trying to do what pleases him every day, we're not going to ask out of selfishness. We're going to ask out of what will glorify him, what will help others, and what will lead me to salvation. We're going to have our priorities straight. And John goes on to say, and his commandment is this, we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The more you do those things, the more you're going to take on the mind of Christ. The more room there is in our darkened minds for Christ to enter because we choose to obey him. And then the light comes. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. We live in him, we abide in him, and he in us. And the way we know that he abides in us or remains in us is from the Spirit whom he gave us. That's literally true, brothers and sisters. Literally true. If you seek to follow him and you repent when you fail day after day after day, no matter what trials you endure, you persevere in that by his grace and power, then you're going to know that he is very near you. The Holy Spirit will enlighten you. Touch your heart. Beloved, do not trust every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they belong to God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We've got a lot of false prophets in the world today. This is how you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh belongs to God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus does not belong to God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, who, as you heard, is to come, but in fact is already in the world. You belong to God, children, and you have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You can conquer the power of the evil one, not by your own strength, but by allowing Christ to live and reign and rule in you more and more and more. As you do, the enemy is cast out. You belong to God, children, and you have conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They belong to the world. Accordingly, their teaching belongs to the world, and the world listens to them. We belong to God, and anyone who knows God listens to us, while anyone who does not belong to God refuses to hear us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. You want to make sure you are following the Lord, choosing to take His word over the way of the world, choosing to follow His commandments rather than what other people tell you it's fine to do. We've got a lot of lies circulating in the world today, brothers and sisters. We've got a lot of lies circulating in our own culture, right here in the U.S. of A. We have them. And we need to be very clear. We need to discern what is of God, what is of the world, and what is of the devil. And the only way you can discern that is through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. You get clarity on what is what. But you've got to call on the graces of those sacraments. You've got to give room for those graces to work in your life. You've got to make some decisions that you really are seeking to follow Him, that you belong to Him, and it's evident that you belong to Him. Psalm 2, responsorial psalm, I will give you all the nations for an inheritance. Think of that. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. And now, O kings, give heed. Take warning, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice before Him. With trembling, rejoice. He is God. You remember that? I've told it several times. The story of it comes back to me a lot. The little 8-year-old who was praying with his family. And then he spoke up in the midst of all the adults and he said, I think God wants to say something. And they all looked at him. Oh, isn't that sweet? What does he want to say? You know how you do to a child. And the little boy, 8 years old, says, God says to us, I am God, you are not God. I tell you what to do, you do not tell me what to do. If I tell you to dig a hole, dig a hole. And if I tell you to climb a tree, climb a tree. And then he stopped and he looked at them and he said, that's all. That child was really bringing the word of the Lord. I am God, you are not God. I tell you what to do, you do not tell me what to do. If I tell you to climb a tree, climb a tree. If I tell you to dig a hole, dig a hole. In other words, do what I ask you to do. How close are you to God? You can't decide by yourself what God is saying. You need to be steeped in His word, steeped in the catechism, and then you can begin to discern the real spirit from the spirit of deceit. It takes time, brothers and sisters, but God wants to give it to you. God wants to give you that grace. We need more and more Christians, more and more followers of Christ who really are seeking His will, His way, His timing, seeking to be servants of that. You serve a royal king and you become royalty yourself. Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. It's the prophetic word declaring the coming of the Messiah. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Brothers and sisters, if something is at hand, you can reach out and grab hold of it. Are you reaching out for the kingdom of God? It is at hand. Are you following the Messiah? He is at hand. And it says here that Jesus went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, curing every disease and illness among the people. His fame spread to all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick with various diseases and racked with pain, those who were possessed, lunatics, paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan followed him. Brothers and sisters, I have no doubt that we would see many more healings among us if we genuinely believed, if we weren't just paying lip service. And some of us pay lip service, but our hearts are far from him. Seriously, at the beginning of this new year, take time, take stock, draw near to him that he may manifest his glory through us. I want to comment here at the end of the program to say a happy feast day to all the Sisters of Charity who have Mother Seton as their founder. Today is the feast of Elizabeth Seton. She was born in 1774 of an Episcopalian family, and from an early age, she dreamed of helping the poor. After she married William Seton, she founded a Protestant society for helping widows and orphans. And after William died, he died an early death. Elizabeth found herself drawn to the Catholic faith, struggling to provide for her five small children. That's a formidable situation, isn't it? After struggling to provide for her five small children, she accepted an invitation from Sulpician priests to found a school in Baltimore. She became Mother Seton to the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph, and their mission to educate the poor and to teach in orphanages formed the beginning of the American parochial school system. It all goes back to Elizabeth Seton. You know, sometimes when we have heavy crosses to carry, the early death of a husband, God has plans for us. They could be as varied as Mother Seton is one example, but they could be very varied in many, many ways. But even in the midst of our grief, we can come to him and say, show me the path that you mark out for me. Show me the way. Mother Seton did that. And look what resulted. The whole parochial school system that has saved the lives of thousands for centuries now. It needs to be reformed and built up once again in many, many places. What is God asking of you? What's God calling you to do in your life? Right in the ordinary circumstances of your life, God always has a call upon us. He is always at work to advance his kingdom, to bring people to know his love. How does God want to use you? Because he will use every one of us who believe in him. How does God want to use you? Is there anything in particular that God wants of you to show forth his mercy, his love, his compassion, his generosity, and the saving grace that he desires to impart to us so that we may live forever? What is God asking of you? Please take time as this new year gets in full steam ahead today. Let us ask God what he wants of us and then say yes, as Mary did. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.